Well, in the past few weeks, we've talked about heaven. We spent two or three weeks on that. We've talked about hell. And we've talked about the judgment seat for the Christians. All of that's important to the Christian life. Amen. Something that's also real important, and I've talked about it before, is how do we walk in the Spirit of God? How are we filled with the Spirit of God? How do we live the Christian life? All of these are subjects that are real important. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about being filled with the Spirit of God. How does that relate to us and all? Our scripture that we're using today is found, but I forgot to tell you to go ahead and I hope y'all went ahead and saw that other screen and turned in your hymnals to 294, "For Have Thine Own Way." Set that aside and have that ready at the end of the service on that. But our scripture passage this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. So if you would please stand in honor of and respect for the ever-living, the eternally holy, the inerrant, the infallible, the miraculously inspired written Word of God, and for the God of the written Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. This morning, I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Ephesians, verse 15, chapter 5. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord." Father, as we have opened your word, as we have read it, I ask that you bless the reading, but you open up our eyes so that we may see and grant us understanding this day of what it is that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, when I was growing up, my mom and dad told me that it was rude and impolite to ask people personal questions, especially if you didn't know who they were. For example, you don't walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, Joe, how much money do you make?" That's kind of rude. You don't. There's none of your business. Something else is you sure don't do. You don't walk up to a lady and say, "How much do you weigh?" Or, "How old are you?" No. Those are rude. You know, you just don't do that. If they want you to know, they'll tell you. But otherwise, you just cool it. Now, before you get upset with me, you do not have to answer this question that I'm fixing to ask you. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to speak out loud or anything like that. But I do have a personal question that I want to ask you this morning. For fear of being rude, I'm going to ask it anyway, because I think it's rather important to ask this question. Are you ready for the question? Yes. Have I baited your curiosity? It is the Holy Spirit filling you right now, at this very moment? Now, there are three possible answers that you can give to that question. One, yes. Praise the Lord. I know the Holy Spirit is filling me right now. Second, you might answer this way. No, He isn't. Then the third, possible answer is, I'm not certain what you mean by the filling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit or not. Now, those are the three possible answers that you can give. It's my prayer this morning that by the time we get to the end of this lesson or discussion or, well, it's not really a discussion. It's a one-sided one, isn't it? this message, that you will have a deeper understanding of that question and will know how to answer it by the merciful grace of God on that. So, based upon what the Word of God teaches, I believe that the question, is the Spirit of God without a shadow of a doubt filling you right now, is an important question for you to ask yourself. It is, I believe, the second most important question that anybody can ever ask themselves. The first one is, do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior? Unfortunately, there is some misunderstanding about the filling of the Holy Spirit. However, as you study the Word of God, you will discover one of the greatest truths written in His Holy Word, that this is one of the greatest truths, and that when I became a Christian, the Spirit of God came to permanently indwell me. That is a truth that so many people miss. Now, it's important that we understand that being filled with the Spirit of God is not having more of the Holy Spirit than what you already have. Now, let me explain. I don't know if you have ever heard of the analogy, this particular analogy that I'm going to give you, but I have heard it before and I just wanted to share it with you. Some people say that, okay, here is an empty glass and I'm going to fill this glass with water. And as I fill this glass with water, you see the glass represents you and this water represents the Holy Spirit. And as I pour the water into the glass, then it's full. And so as the Spirit of God is poured into you, then more of it is in you. Well, that's a wrong analogy. I mean, that's not true, folks. You see, because when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, when you genuinely trusted Him as Lord and Savior, then all that there is of God, all that there is of the Holy Spirit was given to you. Not just a portion of it. He didn't come along and say, Gilbert, okay, I'm going to pour just this much into you right now. And I'm going to pour a little bit more later. He didn't do that. Every bit of the Holy Spirit was poured into you at that moment when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. So being filled with the Holy Spirit simply means that He is being released to do His complete work in and through you. Because He's already in you. Okay? Now, I believe that that most Christians miss this great truth, and that is that we all have, the Christians, genuine Christians, have all that there is of God indwelling within us right now. You see, He did not put just a little bit of Himself into me when I was 6 years old and gave my heart to Christ. And He did not give just a little bit into you, Jackie, or into you, Clementine. He gave every bit of Himself into you. I don't know how the subject came up this morning, but as we were getting in into the van, I was getting Levi in and all, and we started talking about Jesus being in us. And I said, well, you know, Levi, Jesus comes into our hearts when we ask Him to. Every bit of God is in you when you ask Him to. He's in your daddy. He's in me. He's in grammar. He's in all of us, all at the same time. And He looked at me, kind of wrinkled His nose. I said, you know, I don't understand it either, but it's still true. And He went, okay. So, you know, there's a lot of things about God we don't understand. We don't have to. We accept it by faith. So, as a Christian, I have all of God in me. And you have all of God in you. So, when the Spirit of God came to dwell in you, the whole Spirit of God came to indwell you, not just a part of Him. If He hadn't, then you wouldn't be saved. You see, not just part of God comes into you and saves you. It's the all of God that comes into you and redeems you and saves you. Let's take a little sunflower. Let's say that this little sunflower out here and just a portion of the sunlight gets on that sunflower. What's going to happen? It's going to die eventually. It has to have every bit of those sunlight rays coming down upon it for it to live and to continue. The same with the trees, same with the grass. How many of you got trees in your yard and a lot of shade, but very little grass under it? Okay, that's because you see, not all of the sun comes through to that grass, and so therefore it dies out. It's the same with us as Christians. We have to have all of God in us in order for us to be saved. And like I told Levi this morning, I don't understand how He gets in every one of us, but He does. And praise the Lord. Now, that's just the introduction, folks. Now we're going to go to the first point. Is being filled a command? Well, let's see what Paul tells us in verse 18. He says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, when my daddy came to me and he said, Clifford, you do this, I did what daddy said. Or I paid the consequences, or received the consequences later, maybe I should say on that. That was a command. So, when God says here, be filled with the Spirit, that is a command. Now, according to this passage, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command of God. The verb that is used here is be filled. It's in the imperative mode. And in other words, it is a command and not a suggestion. Okay? It's not a wish, but it is an undeniable, unalterable command of God. We've got a little sign on our front door. Says, the commandment, Ten Commandments, are not multiple choice. It's exactly what it says. Commandments. All of them on that. So, it is not, it is a command and it is not a suggestion. The filling of the Holy Spirit isn't for the hierarchy of heaven. It is not for the elite of the elect. It is not just for preachers. And it is not just for evangelists. It is for every Christian. And God commands every person who is saved to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something else that we need to understand. And this is, it is not an optional item. For example, it's not a luxury equipment in the Christian life, but rather it is standard equipment. Amen. In the Christian life. And when allowed to function properly, every Christian will be effective and will bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, if we do not allow the Spirit to function in our lives, then He will not be able to fill us. And since it is a command to be filled with the Spirit, if I'm not being filled with the Spirit, folks, that means I am living in sin. Amen, I'm not saying that. That's the Word of God. Okay? Now, we need to be convinced of this truth, and we need to be convicted of this truth. There's a great number of people in our churches today who think that it would be nice if they could be filled with the Spirit, and they would love to be filled with the Spirit. But that's where it stops. They don't go any further because they believe that being filled with the Spirit is not an absolute necessity. I'll go even further and say that there are a few Christians who are convinced and convicted that not being filled with the Spirit is a sin against God. But my brother and sister, I want you to understand, it is. And every one of us, not just a few of us, but every single one of us need to understand if we're not being filled with the Spirit of God, we're sinning. Amen. Now, those are hard words, okay? And it should bring concern to every one of us as Christians. It is just as much a sin against God not to be filled with the Spirit as it is to be drunk with wine. Now, I don't know any other way to read that 18th verse than that way. I mean, that's what it says. Now, there are two commands in that verse. One is a negative command, and the other is a positive command. Now, the same God made both commands. The same Spirit inspired both commands. With one breath, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine. And then with the same breath, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It is a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're not being filled right now, then you're not living according to what God teaches. You're living in sin and in disobedience. My second point, why does God command it? As you study the Scriptures, you will soon discover that there are many reasons why God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. But primarily, there are two reasons why God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. First of all, being filled with the Spirit is necessary for purity of life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I have had people say, Brother Cliff, I don't know how to keep from sinning. I don't know how to keep from doing these fleshly things. Well, right there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, that's the answer. Being filled with the Spirit, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So that's why God says, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, Paul goes on to point out that every Christian has something inside of him that the Bible calls the flesh. And he also has something inside of him that is called the Holy Spirit. And these two are opposed to each other. And they fight with each other all the time. The flesh is drawing us one way. And that's called the old self. We reference that a lot. And the Holy Spirit then is drawing us another. You've seen the cartoons of the angel on one side and the devil on the other. Well, there's truth in that cartoon there. You don't have to yield to old Slewfoot. Okay? If you're allowing the angel, the Spirit of God to indwell you and to be in you and to be released in you, he's going to push the devil out. Okay? So, that old nature has terminal illness and it cannot be saved. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So you see, I discovered that the reason I failed so much in my Christian life is that I kept trying to control and improve and sophisticate and to Christianize my flesh. Amen. That old nature that was within me. It didn't work, folks. It don't work. It's broke. I found that I was no better off than when I was first saved. Now, you know, it didn't matter if I'd been saved for 20 years, or 30 years, 40 years. It doesn't matter a bit. But what matters is if you're allowing the Spirit of God that is indwelling you to be released out of you. Now, stay with me. The only good thing in you, the only thing that is different about you is that Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, is indwelling in you. And if He were to remove Himself from you, you would immediately revert back to that old pre-conversion state. You haven't changed a bit. That old flesh inside is still the old flesh. We still have this decaying body. Amen. But when we step across into eternity, folks, we'll do away with this. This old body will disintegrate and we'll be given a new body. Amen. Praise God. Did you know that God doesn't try to convert the old nature? Have you ever thought about that? He doesn't. What does He do with the old nature? He crucifies it. Okay? Now, it's still there. And at times, if we say sick 'em, it's still active. And it is very powerful force for us to contend with. In fact, every time you want to serve God, the flesh, the old nature, that ego is there. All right? Just as some of the things we shared a while ago that has happened. It tries to keep us from accomplishing what God wants to do through us. So, don't be frantic and don't overdo it and don't let somebody else do it, but turn to Christ and allow Him to do it through you. Every time you try to serve God or try to pray or try to read the Bible or try to please God, the flesh is there asserting itself to keep you from doing it, to try to overthrow you. Yeah. Now, Paul says that the works of the flesh are obvious, and he gives a whole list of them in verses 19 and 20. They are not just the big, gross sins that we're talking about, folks, but we're talking about flesh, little things as well. And they have to do with our attitude, bitterness, an unforgiving spirit. All of that is there. Maybe somebody hurt you 30 years ago and it's still a thorn in your flesh and it festers up. The second reason God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit is that you have three enemies in your Christian life. You have the devil, you have the world, and you have the flesh. Now, the devil is the tempter. The world is the temptation, and the flesh is the tempted. The devil stands on the outside holding up the world and appeals to the flesh within you, saying, "Hey, Harden, look at this. Look what I have got here." James 1 says that a man sins when he is led away of his own desire. That old sinful desire, that old unchanged nature that the Bible calls the flesh, that is still in you, that actually that you're living in, then it looks and it sees what the devil is offering and the world, and it reaches out to you. Of these three enemies, two of them are on the outside, the devil and the world. The only enemy that you have that is on the inside is the old flesh, that old nature. The only way that the devil and the world can get into your life is if the flesh opens the door and lets them both in. If you let the devil in, the world's coming in right with him. The only part of us that the devil and the world can appeal to is that old nature. Every sin is an inside job, if I may, because of that flesh that is there, that old nature, that old unchanged desire within you sees what the devil has and it reaches out to it, opens the door and allows him to come in. Now, if I can somehow reinforce the door of my flesh, then I don't have to worry about the devil or the world. You see, if I can just somehow build a hedge around the flesh and make it inaccessible to Satan and the world, then I've got it. Okay? The only way now that the world and the devil can get into me is through the flesh. That's his beachhead. And that is my vulnerable spot. That is the only spot the devil can reach me through. Every time he appeals to me, it is through the old lower nature. The same within the world, with the world rather. So my problem is the flesh, that old nature, the big I, the ego that I have myself. If I can somehow reinforce that door, then I will have victory over Satan and the world. Okay? That's the problem. We've pretty well stated it, haven't I? I know I've repeated it numerous times. Back in college 100 years ago, when I was getting my teacher's certificate, one of the things they pounded in my head was repetition. Repetition. That's how you teach. So I'm just trying to teach you repetition. Okay. All right. Now, third point. How do I overcome that problem? It's a good question. Paul tells us, though, in Galatians 5:16, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Why is God telling us to walk in the Spirit? Right there, folks. Pretty important, you see. It is when we walk by the Spirit, when the power of the Holy Spirit is controlling me and filling me and being flushed through me, then the flesh is conquered. That door is bolted, triple bolted, and chained and locked. If I fight the flesh, then the Holy Spirit is there to fight the flesh for me. If I try to fight the flesh, He will overpower me. I said that wrong a while ago. If I fight the flesh will overpower me. If the Holy Spirit fights the flesh, He will be victorious. Okay? In essence, I reckon myself to be dead and allow the Holy Spirit to take over. But I tell you, the fight is fixed. Okay? Because you see, it's me who decide who's going to win. Because every time the flesh and the Spirit get together, I pick the winner. I have the terrible and awesome responsibility of saying the flesh is going to win, and it does in that particular situation. I can yield to the flesh, and He will win because the Spirit of God has been pushed aside. And the Spirit of God, folks, is not going to force me to do something that I don't want to do. I can say I'm going to yield to the Spirit, but when I do that, I untie the hands of the Holy... And when I do that, I untie the hands of the Holy Spirit, and I loose Him, and I let Him go. And He defeats the flesh, not me. The Holy Spirit fights the flesh. And if I walk in the Spirit, if I let my daily life be controlled and ordered by the Holy Spirit, then I will not by any means fulfill the desires of my flesh. Look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul is picturing the Holy Spirit as a tree planted within the Christian. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us will produce fruit. So the picture is a tree planted within the Christian, and this tree wants to produce fruit, a fruit of love, the fruit of joy and peace. But I have got to let the dead leaves of uncleanliness, idolatry, hatred, envy, all of that to go. I can get rid of the old dead works through the leaves, but I can only do it when I allow the Spirit of God to push those dead leaves out. Have you ever noticed a dead limb along the side of the road? It's got all the dead leaves still on it. But when you watch, when fall comes around, these leaves are going to die. How do they come off? It's the sap, the life within, that comes up and pushes those leaves off. You see, it's the life, it's the Spirit of God within me being released through me that begins to push the dead leaves off and out of my life. How can I have the blessed fruits? Of the Holy Spirit that's produced within me, it's all of these dead leaves that are pushed out of me. Did you know that dead leaves don't fall off trees? They're pushed off by the Spirit, the life from within. Now, here's what some of us have been trying to do in our Christian life. We've been going around pulling off dead leaves. We've been saying, I've got to get rid of this dead leaf, this bad habit. I've got to get rid of this dead leaf of filthy language. I've got to get rid of this dead leaf of impure mind and thinking. We have been going around pulling off all of these dead leaves. But that's not the way to do it. All I have to do is to yield myself to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to flow through me and allow Him to fill me with the fullness of Christ. And as the life of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit flow through me, it just pushes off all of those dead leaves. They just fall off. They're pushed off by the power of the Holy Spirit. What we've been doing is focusing our attention this morning on our failure. Now that's a trick that the devil does. You focus on the attention of your weakness and your failure, and you fail and you will fail every time. However, if you forget about your failure and don't look at your sins, if you focus in on the attention of Jesus Christ, if you focus in on the power of the Holy Spirit, if you focus in on His power will fill you and flow through you. Bible study, that's how you focus. Prayer, that's how you focus. Personal time with Him, it's called quiet time in the mornings or evenings or during the day, whenever you can. That's how you focus on Him. And as you focus on Him, Bible study on Sunday morning. Ooh, what a concept. That's how you can focus on Christ, and that will allow Him to push off all of those dead leaves, and you won't have to worry about trying to pull them off. Now Jesus said in John chapter 15 verses 1 and 2 that He is the vine and we are the branches, and the Father is the vine dresser who prunes the branches. Many of us are going around with pruning shears, trying to cut everything off ourselves, all of our bad habits and lives, when all we have to do is to allow the Spirit of God to fill you, and He will produce the love, the joy, and the peace. And He will naturally push off those dead leaves. But folks, before we do that, we have got to make sure that we have Christ in our heart in our life. Click on that. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will, not might, but will be saved. And then it says that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we first and foremost begin the process. You want to get rid of all that dead leaf? You've got to have Christ inside of you first. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that we can do that. If you will pray that this morning and ask Him to forgive you and to come into your heart and to your life, He will do that. And then you come and tell me. Now, why is that important? Because you see, in Matthew, Jesus Himself, in His own words, He says that if you confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father in heaven. And in that next verse, 33, He says, however, if you don't confess Me before men, I'm not going to confess you before My Father who's in heaven. Why is that important? Because if you're willing to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that He is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross for me. I believe that He paid for my sins. And I have received Him into my heart and life. If you really and truly believe in Him, you're going to do that. Now, if you're not willing to do that, then you really don't believe it. You've heard me say this before. And I think that's one reason why God's given us marriage. And that's because, you see, I profess PK as my wife. I will stand before the world. And I will say, I love her. She is my wife. I give myself to her. I live for her. And if I'm not willing to do that, then I really don't love her. Amen. And I love her. And I do. And I do the same with Jesus. I proclaim, I confess Him to the world. They're hearing me right now, live. I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Do you? Do you hear? Okay, it's so important, folks. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, and remember, being filled is allowing that which is within you to come out, then you have to trust in Him first and foremost. We're going to stand in just a moment, and we're going to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. That's what you need to do this morning. So as we stand, and as we sing our song of invitation, you make that decision right now to receive Christ and then come and tell me. Those who are listening over the web, if you'll just contact me and let me know, I will pray with you. As we sing, you make that decision for Christ today.